friend. And I always told him when I growed up, I wanted to be just like him. We was in, you can go ahead and turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 22. We was somewhere preaching, I believe we was in West Virginia. And Brother Earl had preached, and then I preached. And after the service, we were standing outside the tabernacle there where they had the camp meeting. And a little lady walked up, and she said, "Brother Earl," she said, "I don't think I've ever met your son." And Brother Earl said, "Yeah, this is Eddie right here. He never said no different." That tickled me to death, amen. So after that, everywhere he went, he'd say, "I'm going to preach and my boy's going to come," amen. Brother Earl was my buddy and he was my friend. And I asked the Lord Thursday. Brother Earl went home to be with the Lord Thursday morning. I got the news while I was in New York. Then before I even got home, I began to pray and ask God if he'd let me preach one of Brother Earl's sermons. And if the Lord allowed me, that's what I'm going to do tonight in Genesis chapter 22. If you knew anything about Brother Earl, he never preached with notes. He never had an outline. It was just all in his mind. He always had it. But as he got older, it got a little tougher. We was in New York. We was in Hamburg, New York at a camp meeting. And Brother Earl was preaching. I was sitting on the front row. And he preached the first point of this message that I'm about to preach. And I'd heard him preach it many times. And he preached the first point, and he got to the second one, and I could tell he got stuck. And he just sat there with a bewildered look on his mind. So I started whispering out his points to him. He said, "Yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, man." You know how he'd do. He'd clap his little hand. And he got down to the third point. He said, "Now, Eddie, what's my next point?" Amen. And I just fed him his outline as he preached. Amen. And he said, I helped him on that. He said, I was his helper. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. Genesis chapter number 22. And not just doing this, just to be honoring Brother Earl. You'll get some help out of this thought tonight, I guarantee you. Never heard Brother Earl preach that I didn't get a blessing. Never sat down and ate a meal with Brother Earl that I didn't get a blessing and learned some great life lesson. Brother Earl had little sayings that he said all the time. And everybody that knew Brother Earl, we call them Earl's Pearls. And I'm praying somebody write a book and put them in there. Genesis chapter number 22, I'm going to read the story. I know you're probably familiar with it, but this is where Abraham takes Isaac up to offering for a burnt offering. The Bible said, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? You need to underline this in your Bible if you hadn't already in verse number 8. Where Abraham answered and said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. If you have any other Bible than a King James Bible, there's a word inserted there. It's a word for. It says God will provide for himself a lamb. God didn't provide for himself. He provided himself. Amen? He provided. That's why Jesus looked back and said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. This is what he's talking about right here. He said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and look, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took of the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Preach to you on this thought just for a few minutes. What is on your altar? What is on your altar? When we look at the story of Abraham and the story, and we see what Abraham places on the altar physically, we see with a natural eye that Abraham puts his son on the altar. One of the prettiest pictures of Christ in the Old Testament, right here in Genesis chapter number 22, when we read about him being bound with the wood and bound on the altar. Brother, that's what Calvary was for you and me. Amen? When God sent his own darling son to take our place. Whoa, what a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But physically, all we see on Abraham's altar is his son. But I'd like to say to you tonight, long before Isaac was on the altar, Abraham already had some other things on the altar. Long before Isaac was laid on the altar, there were some things Abraham had placed on the altar. Long before you and I can make an Abraham-Isaac type decision in our life, we're going to have to make some sacrifices and put some other things on the altar of God. Amen? Let me ask you this question again tonight. What is on your altar? I believe God chose Abraham with all my heart. I believe God knew exactly what Abraham would do when he asked him to do it. God never intended to take his son. Brother Tom Hayes put it like this. He said God didn't want Isaac. He wanted more of Abraham. Let me say that again. God didn't want Isaac. He wanted more of Abraham. And that's exactly what he got. Abraham walked off that mountain that day with a little bit deeper and a little bit closer relationship between him and his God. He learned a little bit something more about his God. He learned how God would provide himself. He learned how God would send a sacrifice, a substitute to take the place of his son. He learned that Calvary was coming one day. Amen. Are you listening? Long before he could get there to this place with God, there had to be some things in his heart that he had sacrificed on the altar before God. I want to show you some things through the scripture tonight, and then we'll go to the house. I want to show you what Abraham had on his altar. I'm going to show you what Abraham had on his altar. Number one, he had his attention on the altar. Abraham had his attention on the altar. In verse number one, God called unto Abraham, said his name one time. He said, Abraham, he said, here I am. Abraham, here I am. God didn't have to hunt him. God didn't have to speak twice. Why? Because he had his attention on the altar. Listen to me carefully. God had his undivided attention. Can I ask you a question? Does God have your undivided attention? We live in such a crazy rat race world. Are you already thinking about what all's going on tomorrow? How you got to get up and get the kids ready for school and get to work and what all was left on your job on Friday that's waiting on you? Hey, God's been trying to talk to you all day, this morning during the preaching, tonight during the preaching, but your mind's somewhere else. I want to say Abraham had his mind on the altar. God had his undivided attention. He said, Abraham, he said, yes, sir. You ever had to call your children more than once? Like when they're playing a video game? Like their brain, they just go brain dead. You stand right beside them and call their name and they just still entranced in that game. That's the way we are with God. We get so caught up in the cares of life and the things of the world and brother, we got so many things on our mind. It's no wonder people taking antidepressants. Man, we're going crazy. And God has to call and call and call and call and call and call, and you wonder why he ain't blessing in your life. Amen. Somebody said, God's not speaking. No, you're not paying attention. I remember when I was in school, my teacher, every now and then she'd be writing stuff on the chalkboard. I am a daydreamer. I mean, if there was ADD in the 60s and 70s, I'd have had it. I'd have been Mr. ADD, but no, I got paddlings instead. Amen. My attention span was about that long. I'd be staring out the window watching the birds or whatever. I mean, staring off into space, thinking about riding horses or something. I mean, my mind was a million miles away. And my teacher would say, Eddie, can you answer that question? I'd go, what question? I'm in the room where she's teaching, but I haven't heard a word she said. Why? Because my attention is not on the teacher. My attention is on my little old crazy mind and everywhere it's going. Hey, that's the way we are in the house of God sometimes. Hey, we're under the sound of the preaching. We're under the sound of the Word of God. We're under the teaching of the Word of God. But our mind's way out yonder somewhere, and we ain't heard a thing God had to say. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What does God have to do to get your attention? What does God have to do? With Abraham, what did it take? Nothing. He already has his attention. He already has his attention. Why? Because Abraham has sacrificed his attention on the altar of sacrifice. In other words, Abraham said, God, you've got my mind. You've got my mind. God, you've got my ear. When you speak, I will hear. Every time God called unto Abraham, he only had to call him one time. Abraham. Except when he was carrying out what God told him to do, and he had to call him twice then. Amen. Are y'all all right? He had his attention on the altar. Listen, before Isaac was ever on the altar, Abraham had sacrificed his attention on the altar. Are you listening for God? Are you? Does God really have your attention? What did you get out of the message this morning? Anything? If God had your attention, you'd have got something. Nine times out of ten, when I hear people complain about their preacher being shallow and they're not being fed, they're not paying attention. And I know maybe some churches that's the case. But anywhere a man will take an old Bible and rear back and preach and pray and study and beg God for what he's supposed to preach, if he'll preach, you can get something out of it. Man, it doesn't take an educated man. I read stories about them old farmers that got saved, couldn't read a lick. Their wife would read the scripture for them, and they'd preach what thus saith the Lord, and thousands of people come to know Christ as their Savior. We just don't have your attention anymore. We don't have your attention anymore. Man, back in the old days, they would flock by the hundreds and thousands to churches all over this country to hear the preached word of God. You know why? They didn't have nothing else to do. They didn't have NASCAR. They didn't have the NFL. They didn't have their minds so clouded with everything in the world. It was a simpler time. And what I'm trying to say, I know times are different and we can't go back 100 years. But what I'm saying, since the world is so crazy, we need to give God more attention than they did. Since things are so complicated and things are so hard and the battles we fight so tough, we need to give God more of our attention. Amen. Out of 9 prayer requests in the prayer room tonight, 5 were cancer. Out of 9 prayer requests, Brother William counted them and said, 5 were cancer. In our church, related to our church. Brother, He needs to have our attention. Amen. Amen. Listen, cancer will get your attention, won't it? It'll do it. It'll make you pray different, won't it? I'm here to tell you. Does God have your attention? Not only did Brother Earl say he had his attention on the altar, but he had his receiver on the altar. Stay with me. Not only did he have his attention on the altar, but he had his receiver on the altar. Here's what Brother Earl said. He said it right here from this pulpit. He said, over your heads right now are floating thousands of pictures, thousands of songs. They're just floating in the air over our heads. Movies, TV shows, they're floating over your head right now. Isn't that wild? I mean, it really is when you think about it. They're right there over your head. Any song you could ever want to hear, it's floating over your head. Sermons, brother, it's just floating over your head. He said, all you got to have is a receiver. Brother Earl said, if you want to retrieve one of them songs, he said, all you got to be is dialed in to the right frequency. Yeah. He said Abraham was dialed in to the right frequency. Not only did he have his attention on the altar, but he had his receiver on the altar. Hey, he was tuned in to God. That's why he heard the voice of God. Yeah. We've got people who aren't hearing God because they're not in tune with God. Y'all okay? You can't get God on the line when you're tuned into one of them stupid reality shows. Amen. If my daughter went on that show, what do they call that, The Bachelor or something like that, where all them women's fighting over one man, I'd kill her. Say amen, Katie. Amen. That's some stupidest stuff in the world, and we wonder why we ain't hearing God. And we're filling our minds with that kind of God. I mean, brother, it's a wonder. It's a wonder we hear anything at all. Our minds are so numbed and dumbed by society and what this world is chunking our way. Hey, we need to get hold of the dial and turn that thing till we hear the voice of God. I remember when I was working on a public job, me and Brother Terry Fennell, he's up in North Carolina working. Every day at 10 o'clock, we would go to the truck. It didn't matter where we was working. We quit what we was doing, and we'd go to the truck, and we'd start turning that dial till we heard Lester Roloff's voice. We knew he was on the right station. Y'all listening? I forgot what time it was. There's another time during the day we'd go out there and we'd turn that dial and we heard Tall Stanley's voice. And we'd sit on them construction sites and listen to the preached word of God. Thank God we had a receiver. Thank God we know how to tune it in. Amen. You know how to get to the right place. There's a right place on the dial where you hear God's voice and you don't hear it anywhere else. You've got to get tuned in to the right place. You've got to have that. Hey, you know what you got when you got saved? You got a receiver down on the inside of you that lets you hear and understand the word of God. Hey, when I got saved, this thing didn't make a lick of sense to me. I grew up in church all my life. The Bible was the craziest book in the world. I didn't understand it at all. But I got saved. I got something moved down on the inside of me. I got a receiver. I got a Holy Ghost, amen, who can interpret God's voice for me. I started reading that Bible for the first time. My wife bought me a little Scofield Bible. I still got it at home. A dog chewed the cover off of it. I got that Scofield Bible, and I started reading through the book of John. I won't never forget it. And I started seeing things in there. I go, wow, wow. I'd go to church and tell my preacher, man, you ever seen this? And he'd act all impressed, you know. Man, you know what it was? God was speaking to me. God was speaking to me. I grew up in church and I heard preachers get in the pulpit and say, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and told me to do this. I thought, man, he never spoke to my heart. I thought, man, this bunch of nuts. He don't speak to my heart. But boy, I'm glad one New Year's Eve he decided he'd come by and speak to my heart. I wasn't crazy about what he said, but he sure did speak, Brother Freddie. He stepped in the middle of my mother-in-law's living room, stuck his finger down in my face and said, boy, you lost and you're on your way to a devil's hell. If you don't get saved, that's where you're headed. I said, I hear you loud and clear. The first time in my life I felt I truly heard the voice of God. Went to the preacher's house, got born again. He's been talking to me ever since. Amen. You receiver, are you in tune? Are you in tune? There's so many tuned into Oprah. If that's where you're getting your life lessons from, you crippled too high for crutches. Amen. Amen. I've said that with a smile on my face. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, what you got against Oprah? You got about an hour? Yes. Got about an hour? She's whacked in the head. Amen. Dr. Phil?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Phil's good. He might have some good advice. But somebody who advises your daughter to go online to find a mate.
Come on, preacher.
God didn't mention nothing about that.
That's right.
You okay?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, what about Dr. Jesus? That had to work, won't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where are you tuned into tonight? Where are you getting your advice from? Where are you getting your advice from? You know, everybody's got advice. Anybody in this room, you can ask a question, what's your advice about this? They're going to give you an answer. Whether they know one or not. Well, I think what you ought to do, what's God think?
Amen.
Have you asked him about it?
Yes.
Well, we're thinking about moving out of town and taking another job. Have you talked to God about it?
Right.
Well, me and so-and-so is thinking about getting married. Have you talked to God about it?
Right.
Have you talked to God about it?
Amen.
Had a young couple come in my office years ago. They said, Brother Eddie, what do you think about us getting married? Do you think that'd be a good thing? I said, no, definitely not. Do not. No, don't go there. Hex, no, no. They said, well, we done bought the ring. I said, what'd you ask me for? You didn't want my advice. You wanted my blessing.
Yeah.
Amen. I see train wrecks happen in people's life over and over and over and over again. I had one couple come to the altar, and I started to look at the girl and say, can you take a joke? If she said yes, I was going to say, good, I pronounce you man and wife. Amen.
Amen.
Man, everybody. everybody that walks the aisle ain't God's will. Amen. Yeah, you can marry out of God's will just as easy as you can do anything else out of God's will. Have you talked to God about it?
Amen.
One boy said, but she's beautiful. Check, we've been about 40 years.
Amen.
Amen. She likes his hair with all that gel in it. Wait till it falls off.
Amen.
You better make sure it's really love. Amen.
Yeah.
Say amen, Miss Tabitha. Hallelujah. I'm looking at Robbie grinning there. Y'all all right?
Yes,
have you talked to God about it? I believe every decision in your life, you ought to ask God.
Right.
You know what he'll do? Here's what I do. Here's how I pray. God, give me some light on this. In other words, direct me, show me. You know what he'll do? Just in casual reading of the Bible, bam.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It'll come off the page like it's highlighted, and God's going, wah, 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 like a neon sign. And you know what I've done sometimes? Just kept right on reading.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Just like I didn't see it. Because
yeah.
It wasn't the light I was looking for.
Amen.
And I kept digging through that Bible. Come on, God, show me some light. In the back of my head, I'm thinking, wah, wah, wah. I'm thinking about that verse like a neon sign. God said, I tried to tell you, idiot.
Yeah.
Has it got your attention? Is your receiver on the altar?
Yeah.
Are you tuned in to the mind of God? The thoughts of God? The will of God? Oh, don't raise your hand. Now, how many of you know without a shadow of doubt the will of God for your life? It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
To know you're where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Are you listening? Abraham had his attention on the altar. Abraham had his receiver on the altar. Look at verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass. Look here. He had his response on the altar. He had his response on the altar. God said go. You know what he did? He got after it. He didn't lay out a fleece. Now, people talk about that all the time. I'm going to lay out a fleece. You're not Gideon.
That's right.
I think we need to lay out a fleece. Not when you already know the answer.
That's right.
I don't think God stuttered when he told him what to do.
Amen.
God said, Abraham, yes, sir, here I am. Attention. His receiver's on the altar. He heard God loud and clear. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Take him to one of the mountains that I'll show you up and offer him there for a burnt offering. Yes, sir. He got in the road.
Yeah.
There wasn't no big, long fasting, praying, calling the neighbors, putting it on Facebook. What do y'all think I should do?
Yeah.
I don't need your advice when God's already gave me the answer of what I'm supposed to. I don't need to come before the deacons when God says, you need to do this or you need to do that. I don't need to come and get your permission.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of times if you start asking other people their opinion, they'll talk you out of the will of God. Because they ain't got no better sense than to keep their mouth shut and say, hey, you better just do what God told you to do.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
He had his response on the altar. He got the call that morning, left that morning, ready to go. Now let me tell you something very important. God's timing is everything. God's timing is everything. I'm learning that the older I get. I'll be 48 this year. I'm learning how important God's timing is. I used to get ahead of God a lot. Just young. I mean, I think that's good. I think that's a good character trait in a kid. Somebody who just got a bunch of zeal, just excited to do something. When you get like that, you're going to fall and you're going to mess up. That's part of it. When you're stupid, you're going, you know what I mean? You're going to make a fool out of yourself a time or two. But I've learned God's timing is everything. Everything. Let me ask you a question. Think about it seriously. We read the entire story. What if Abraham would have said, yeah, Lord, we'll go tomorrow. We'll go tomorrow. And God's thinking, you don't understand, son. I got a goat headed your way now. If you go tomorrow, you're going to miss the goat. And there's going to be no substitute for your son. I believe with all my heart I don't have a scripture verse for this. But I believe with all my heart, as Abraham and Isaac are coming up this mountain, there's a goat coming up his side. God's timing is important. And if God tells you to do something today, you better do it today. Especially if God puts somebody on your heart to witness to, you better do it then. It could be He's telling you to witness unto them because they won't be here tomorrow. Amen. When God tells you to do something, you better just do it. Abraham had learned that. And Abraham had the faith and the trust in God. He told those men, he said, y'all stay here with the ass. He said, me and the lad are going yonder to worship and we'll come again to you. I believe Abraham really believed. The knife was in the air, friend. He was fixing to cut his boy into little pieces. You don't understand. He wasn't just going to stab him. He was going to cut him up and lay him out in order. You can read the Bible and learn how they did that. He was going to cut him up in little sections and lay him out in order on the altar and then set fire to his son. I believe he believed with all his heart that if he did that, God would resurrect him. You know why? You know why Abraham believed that? I'm getting a little off the subject here. But Abraham believed that because he already had a word from God. God said, you see them stars up there? Abraham said, yes, sir, I do. He said, can you count them? He said, no, I ain't got a clue. He said, I'm going to multiply your seed more than that. He said, you see the sand on the seashore? Can you count how many grains they are? No, sir. He said, well, more than that, I'm going to multiply your seed. How can he do that if he chops him up on the altar? I believe Abraham believed he'd resurrect him if he killed him. He believed with all his heart. That boy's coming back down that hill with him. Amen. Amen. He had his attention on the altar, his receiver on the altar. He had his response on the altar. He didn't lay out a fleece. He didn't call a prayer line. Amen. He just did what God said do. Yes. You know what? You can't go wrong doing that. Right. You can follow that pattern all through the Bible. God asked his people to do some pretty foolish sounding things. If you're going to go and fight against one of the biggest cities in the world with the greatest enemies in the world, and they're giants in your sight and you're like a grasshopper, would your idea be take no weapons, just take all your people and some preachers, put the preachers right out the front, and just march around the city for 7 days? And on the seventh day, do it 7 times, and you get done marching, just holler. Yeah. Doesn't that sound crazy? Yeah. But that's what God said to do. Right. Did the walls come tumbling down? Yes. Yes, they did. You'll find that pattern all through your Bible. Yeah. When people obey what God said to do, He takes care of them every single time. Yes. Amen. We're just disobedient. Yes, sir. What happens when you're disobedient? Punishment, right? Every time we find Israel in bondage, in a mess, you know what? Disobedient. But every time they did what God said to do, blessings. Every single time. He had his response on the altar. Now, verse number 9. The Bible said, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. I said he had his attention on the altar. He had his receiver on the altar. He had his response on the altar. Let me say this. He had his resources on the altar. He had his resources on the altar. Do you know what Abraham put on that altar that day? Everything he had. Yeah. Abraham laid on that altar the love of his life. If you look at verse number 1, he said, take thy son, thine only son. Does that sound like John 3:16 to you? Does that sound just about like John 3:16 to you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He said, take your only son. He didn't stop there. Whom thou lovest. Abraham took the answer to his prayer. Abraham took the thing that God had blessed and God had promised him all them years ago, and that even the doubt had built up in his mind that caused him to sin with the handmaid. I mean, brother, this thing God had promised, a child of his old age, and he laid him on the altar. What are you willing to put on the altar before God tonight if God asked it? I never understood this, ever. until my son was in a coma. Never did I understand this Abraham-Isaac experience. Till that Wednesday night, I left here, drove back to Rome, Floyd Medical Center. Kissed my wife goodnight in the ICU. Went across to the Ronald McDonald House and went to bed. And God woke me up. And I hit the floor and I prayed this prayer. I said, God, I'm not going to promise anything stupid. Because I'll be honest with you, if you have to take my son, I don't know what I'll do. I learned a long time ago, don't make him stupid statements. Well, bless God, I wouldn't. Yeah. You ain't got a clue. Quit saying that about other people. Well, if that's me, I'd have done this. Have you been in their shoes? If you ain't, you don't know what you'd do. You might do like me and shake your fist in the face of God. I slipped out of bed. I said, God, I ain't going to make no foolish promise. If you have to take Levi, I don't know what I'll do. God, I don't know. I really don't know, God. But I said, Lord, I'll try. I said, I'll promise you that much. God, I'll give you that. If you got to take him, I said, I already told him I was done. I already told him I wasn't preaching no more. I done told him it wasn't fair and it wasn't right. I done let him have it. I said, God, I'll try. I said, I promise you, Lord, I'll do my best if you have to take my son to go on. I understood what Abraham felt in his heart. God, I felt that God was asking from me something that I love so much I couldn't give. And then I found out the next morning it wasn't Levi he wanted. Wasn't about Levi. Levi preached to the teens one night after the wrecking. He said, you know, everybody talks about that being my great storm. He said, it wasn't my storm. He said, that was Mom and Dad's storm. He said, I don't even remember. Till this day, that kid don't remember that wreck. It wasn't about Levi. It was about me and him. But I had to get to the place where I could at least tell God I'd try. Now, it was just a few hours ago, I was mad, remember? I really was. I'd make you know, I'd be ashamed for you to know what I prayed. I really would. I was upset. Thank God the Lord don't take us serious all the time. Amen. He'd have struck me dead right there. But he had his resources on the altar. Listen. It's not always God wanting to take something away from you. Most of the time it's God wanting to put something else inside you. Sometimes when we think God's punishing us, he's just trying to show us something else about himself. He's just trying to show us a new level that we hadn't been to before. If we just trust him. If we just trust him. You know what he said? Take your son, your only son, the one you love. Put him on the altar. Cut him up in little pieces and set him on fire. I believe with all my heart. When Abraham answered his son, I believe at that moment Isaac knows what's up. At some point upside that hill, that kid figured it out. If he didn't, by the time he's laying there, he knows. I don't believe he put up a fight. I don't believe there's a struggle. I believe Abraham said, son, would you hop up here? Yes, sir. I sound kind of like the Lord talking with the Father.
Amen.
Lord, if it be you will, I pray that you let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I don't think he struggled, Brother Freddie. I don't think he argued with his dad and told him the stupidest thing he ever heard of. But I believe as Abraham laid that boy on that altar, I believe he said, baby, it'll be all right. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I've already given you the answer when you asked me where the lamb was. God will provide. God will provide himself a lamb.
put his resources on the altar. We're so stingy, we won't even let God have what's already his.
Amen.
We won't even tithe our income. I think God needs a raise myself.
Amen.
He ought to get at least as much as a waitress at Waffle House does.
Yeah.
She ain't got no teeth.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What are you willing to give up for God? You know what you're going to find out? You ain't giving up nothing. You're not giving up nothing. When I started pastoring this church full time, God told me I had to sell my truck and my bass boat. I didn't bat an eye. Came home from work that day. I told my wife, I said, I sold my boat today. She just laughed. She knew I worshiped that thing. I said, no, seriously. I sold it. When God told me to sell it, within 30 minutes, I had somebody ask me if they could buy it. And for some weird reason, it didn't feel like I was giving up anything. And it didn't. I've gained that and much, much more. What are you willing to give up? Is your resources on the altar? If God needed it, would it be available? Serious question, isn't it? If God needed it, would you make it available? Would you withhold it from him? Can I ask you a question? What's he withheld from you?
Amen.
They sang that song this morning, How Great the Father's Love. Oh. Man, just him loving me is enough. Amen. He'd never done anything else. Amen. He had his attention on the altar. He had his receiver on the altar. He had his response on the altar. He had his resources on the altar. Let me close with this. Look at verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. We said he had his attention on the altar, his receiver, his response, his resources. But lastly, he had his reward on the altar. He had his reward on the altar. Abraham is just fixing to, he's got this knife in the air and he's just fixing to stab it into the chest of his son. And the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham! And he stops him. And all of a sudden he hears a noise. Bah. Bah. I bet Abraham said, hallelujah. Glory to God. I told you, son, everything would be all right. Let's get these ropes off of you. Let's untie you. Let's get you off this altar and let's go drag that ram up here and we'll cut him and we'll sacrifice him unto God. I bet you they come off that mountain rejoicing. I guarantee you, oh, they didn't come down going, oh, man. I guarantee you Isaac was rejoicing.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Isaac heard that ram and said, woo-hoo, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Get me off this altar, Daddy, I'll get the goat. Hallelujah. His reward was on the altar. Listen, the only reason that ram was there is because Abraham had some things on the altar. Abraham had some things on the altar. We want the blessings of God. We want the gifts of God. But we don't want to have to sacrifice anything to get them.
Amen. Amen.
We want him and this.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's right.
Sometimes we're going to have to learn to, it's okay to let go of some things. You know how they used to catch monkeys in Africa? They'd take a jug with a small mouth on the jug. They'd tie a rope to that jug. And they'd fill that jug full of peanuts.
And the monkeys would come over there and stick their hand in that jug and grab them a handful of peanuts. Well, once they got that handful of peanuts, they couldn't get their hand back out of that jug. Well, they'd just drag them over there with a rope and knock them in the head. Them stupid monkeys didn't realize all they had to do was let go of the peanuts. All I had to do is let go of the peanut. Really, it'd blow your mind if you'd make everything you have available to God.
Amen.
It's a different life.
Yeah.
It's a different joy. It's a different, it's totally different when it's no longer your money, it's God's.
Yeah.
I don't mean the 10%, I mean all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. That's the way I look at it. It's all His. He lets me use it. He only asked me for 10% of it. I give Him more than that. But it's all His.
100%
of it. I can't remember the last time I needed something and couldn't go get it. I remember going through bankruptcy as a young married couple. Lost my business. That was when I was fussing at her because she put $5 in the offering plate. I thought that's what dollar bills were for. One day I learned how to give God what is His. And I'll be honest with you. I don't give just so I'll get. I've just learned it's better. Just go ahead and do what God said to do. Amen? Maybe you ought to bring something tonight. Something in your heart. Put it on the altar tonight. Is your attention on the altar? Are you listening for the voice of God? Is your receiver on the altar? Are you tuned in? Is your response on the altar? Or has God asked you so many times He's tired of asking? Everybody you hear talk about being called to preach talks about how they ran from God. Stupidest thing in the world. I did it too. That's just the flesh. Stupidest thing in the world. You don't got to run from nothing God asks you to do. I've learned now that it's so good, everything He asked me to do, I'm going to enjoy it so much, I kind of run to it.
Yes, right.
Is your response on the altar? If He asked you today, would you do it today? I believe when God asks you to do something, He pretty much means now. When my kids are at home, when Levi was at home, if I told him, go clean your room, I didn't mean after your show's over. I ask you now because I want it done now.
Right.
Does God deal any differently with us? Now, He may show you something that He wants you to do in the future when you're ready for it. I'm not stupid. But most of the time when God says I'm telling you to do something, He means now. Is your resources on the altar? I know you're busy looking for the reward. Get them priorities in line. Get those priorities in line. I tell you what, Brother David Hallford was handed a great reward. A great reward. God could have probably easier would have been just to take her. Really. But boy, that didn't happen overnight. Well, there were some things put on the altar. You know what they learned? Nothing else matters. Stuff don't matter. Things don't matter. This matters. And I promise you, I know that mom and dad close enough and we spent enough time through those days, there were some things put on the altar. You find out your daughter's got cancer, you pray different. You find out your son's in a coma, you pray different. Amen? Don't worry about the reward. It'll be there. Whatever it is. Whatever blessing it is that God's already got ready for you, if you'd just be willing to put some other things on the altar. Let's stand at our feet tonight. Brother Todd, would y'all come? Just get us a song. I believe with all of my heart that's what God wants me to do tonight. Not just to honor Brother Earl, but to help you.